All right. Hello, everybody. This is Al Vance, joined by my pal Josh Raymond. We're back in Studio One of the Al and Josh podcast production show. How you doing, Josh?
I'm good, Al. How about you?
I'm great. I am great. Here we are, you know, a full week or less than a week, actually, after our last podcast. Once again, finding out that we have less time between podcasts than we initially thought. But that's all right. We're having a good time with it. We hope other people are, too. Today we'll touch on the Cheesehead just a little bit at some point during this. We've got our first question from a listener. That's exciting,
yeah,
right? We'll cover that.
Absolutely.
Let you know we are working hard. We had a poll out there for how people listen to us, whether it's iTunes or SoundCloud or whatever. We've already submitted our podcast to iTunes, and I hope we're there by the time this one gets released. But if we're not, it should be there shortly, and we'll certainly tweet out that information. There was an other response or two. I don't know what those were, but if you want to let us know, we'll work on any other method for notifying you when our podcasts are ready. So like I say, we're less than a week from our last podcast.
And keep in mind, every time we get together, Al says, yeah, it'll probably be about a couple weeks before we do another one.
Yeah, every couple of weeks we'll do these. Or 3 to 5 days.
Yeah, here we are again, 3 to 5 days later.
Well, and how is it? You know, we talked last time we'd like to cover the Rickley Duels. We've been up there as fans a couple of times. We like the event. You know, they're a couple hours. They're a long ways from us. We don't know every team as detailed. We kind of had a little shout out. We wish we could learn more about it. We'd like to cover it. And the day after our last podcast aired, Josh, what happened?
Well, I got a phone call from the Bemidji Lumberjacks head coach, Rance Barr. And he was willing to take 10, 15 minutes out of his day in a pretty busy week.
Well, he doesn't really have anything else going on, right?
Well,
I mean, they're getting back to school. They got practice. He's going to run a tournament this weekend with how many teams there?
16.
Which means 16 varsity, 16 junior varsity, 16 middle school, new venue. I mean, he's got a lot going on right now, but he took time out of his day to call and share some information. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. You know, so much to the point that after I got off the phone with Coach Barr, I called you, Al, and said, hey, man, you know, they called us. You know, they gave us some information. We got to get together and chat a little bit about the Rickley Duels, which we wanted to anyways.
Right.
But we just didn't have the ammo or the firepower.
Yeah.
So this just makes it a little bit easier. And like I said, if they're, you know, we appreciate him taking the time to reach out to us.
Oh, right? Huge. Yeah. Thanks, Rance. Thanks a ton.
So, you know, with chatting with him, I just found out a few things, asked a few questions, and he was super easy to talk to. And he said, you know, essentially the Bemidji Invite used to be an 8-team individual tournament.
Okay.
And they were looking for a way to expand on it, but they wanted to expand for all ages, for everybody. You know, a lot of times when your varsity goes to a tournament, you bring your junior varsity with, and maybe they'll wrestle some duels. And it'll be mostly forfeits. You know, there'll be like 3 or 4 good matches a duel. And you know how it is. Duels don't always work out real good, especially in a tournament setting like that. And so and at the same time, they wanted to incorporate middle school and eventually youth. And they found a pretty good way to do that at the Sanford Center up in Bemidji.
Sure.
Well, the goal was to get matches for everybody. And they did that. The first year, they had varsity, JV, and middle school. No youth, but youth was coming. The problem was they ran into, as hard as the Bemidji wrestling program has worked, they keep kind of running into some roadblocks, essentially.
Yeah, things out of their control, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, trust me, after talking to Coach Barr, and after seeing the tournament run, you know, the people are working really hard up in that part of the state to develop a really good quality tournament.
Sure.
You know, the goal is to grow it to 32 teams.
Nice, nice.
You know, which is an amazing undertaking because we've seen them in action, right? Now, we've been up there, and essentially when they're working tables, like, they got to rotate out so they can go watch their kid wrestle when it's his turn to wrestle.
Right, and I mean, the times I've been there, they've switched from varsity to JV on the same set of mats, and then they mix in, you know, middle school, wherever. And as a fan, it's hard for me to keep up with all the action. I can't imagine trying to work the tables of all those different age groups all at the same time, right? I mean, that's tons of help, and that's, you know, speaks volumes for what they've got going up there to be able to host a tournament like that, right? And find enough people to handle it. Because I don't, it's been a few years since I was up there, but I don't recall any issues with it. No. It wasn't like I'm looking around saying, where are all the table workers, or why don't these people understand wrestling? They all seem great.
Right. Never an issue. Zero issues. And from the wrestling people. But the wrestling people up there, they keep running into issues with maybe it's the hockey people. Like the very first year of the Rick Lee Duels, the tournament was going to be held at the Sanford Center, right?
Right.
Brand new, big, fancy hockey rink up there. Got a hotel or two attached to it. About a month before that first year, the Sanford Center said, nope, this isn't going to work. We got a girls' hockey game that night. You're going to have to find
a tournament?
No, not a tournament. No, believe it or not a tournament. My understanding is it was a single game.
Okay.
So the Bemidji Wrestling Club, you know, they had...
How big are rosters in girls' hockey? Maybe 20 or 30? So maybe for 40, 50 athletes, they displaced... Many, many hundreds.
Yeah.
Along with.
I mean, 16 teams worth of wrestlers and crazy and fans. And yeah, it seems ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So the Bemidji Wrestling Club, they didn't stop. They found a way.
Yep.
And they moved it to the field house at the college. And we were there for that one.
Yeah.
Not the worst setup in the world, not the best setup. It worked, right? It was definitely serviceable. And they did that in a pretty short time. I want to say it was like a month.
Yeah.
I remember our hotel rooms were booked.
We actually had hotel rooms attached to the Sanford. Yeah. We were super excited, right? We don't have to go outside up there. We just walk over there, stumble, whatever.
And if you remember that first year we were up there, it was like 15 below.
It was chilly.
It was freezing. So they found a way. They adapted. They went to the field house at Bemidji State University, got everybody in there, middle school wrestled in the gym. Junior high wrestled when varsity was, or I'm sorry, junior varsity wrestled when varsity was on their break.
Right.
Everything ran smooth. Then they got into the Stanford Center the next year. I think 2 years in a row they were there.
Okay.
And actually, the Rick Lee Duels in Bemidji is the second largest event ever held at the Stanford Center.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're doing things right.
Sure.
Last year, the last couple of years, they've incorporated youth into their weekend, and they had like 400 plus youth wrestlers on top of their middle school JV and varsity.
Awesome.
So they're definitely grinding it out, but something happened again this year, and they're at the high school. They lost the Sanford Center. I'm sure it was another girls' hockey game or something along the lines of that. And they can't go back to the field house because the college took the bleachers out and put down turf. And that's being used for something else now. So there's essentially no seating, and that facility's out of the question. So at the high school it is, and they're going to see how it goes, and they're hoping that it runs as smooth as possible. And then next year they're look forward to trying to get youth incorporated.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd heard that they're going to probably have to cut the youth out just because they want to err on the side of caution and make sure they can handle the event and don't run into some crazy scheduling, right? So they're going to run it for a year with just the high school, junior varsity, and middle school?
Yes.
All three of those still. Run without youth, and they'll figure out how things go. And no one, Rance and that whole crew up there, or seeing their work, I should say, I'm assuming they'll figure out a way to make it work next year.
I'm sure they will. I mean, these guys, they've been working hard for, 4 or 5 years now, and they've always found a way to make it work, and there's always been very few complaints. So there's no doubt in my mind they will. It's just, man, it would be nice. I mean, I know they even asked if they could lock down the Sanford Center for the same weekend every year, and they didn't care what weekend it was. They just wanted it black and white.
They said just pick a weekend, any weekend, and give it to us for every year.
Yep.
And we'll be here. We'll fill it. We'll rent it.
We'll make it work.
You give us your worst weekend of that time frame, and we'll take it.
Yes.
And absolutely. They said no.
They said no. That didn't work for them, which is
it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Especially because the goal is to grow this tournament to 32 teams.
Yeah. And they, you need a big arena, right, to host a 32 team. They get away with the Clash. RCTC has a nice size arena. They just run 8 mats, and they are able to run a 32 team tournament.
Yeah.
That said, they've got 0 junior varsity, 0 middle school, and 0 youth. So it's a fraction of what Bemidji's pulling off up there.
Yeah, which is a testament to the people involved with the Bemidji Wrestling
program. Right. Yeah,
it's pretty impressive efforts and. Good luck, keep up the good work.
Absolutely,
really.
Keep fighting the fight. We love it. So, yeah. So from there, I guess we might as well, let's talk about the Rick Lee tournament a little bit. Just kind of run through the pools, the teams, the format, that sort of thing. You know, some people, Perm's up there. We talked about Perm last week, and some people may consider them a favorite on paper anyway, right? But 13 out of the 16 teams are either ranked or lean and mean. Isn't that right? In that ballpark?
Yeah. 13 out of the 16, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think without counting them one by one, there's got to be 50, 60, 70 ranked wrestlers there. So there's guaranteed to be good matches, and you never know. You get into a duel with high-level kids on each side, one or two little things go your way, and all of a sudden someone who's an underdog is beating a highly ranked team. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. That tournament, right, that's pools and pools. We talked about that. You confirm that with Rance. So it'd be four pools on day one, round robin, and then the first place teams will wrestle round robin day two, the second place, the third place, that sort of thing. So let's jump into pool A. That'll be Perham, Brainerd, Cambridge Isani, and Bloomington Kennedy. One of the matches I highlighted out of that pool to watch would be at 132 pounds. Number 9, Double A Leighton Rock from Perham will be taking on number 9, Triple A Kyle Patnode from Brainerd. At least a possible matchup, you know, depending on how the duel's going and coaches will juggle lineups as necessary. But look for a couple of top 10 kids at 132 pounds on day one in pool A. What else you got for us in that bracket, Josh?
Well, I mean, we can take a look at the individual wrestlers and, you know, it almost seems like this is our podcast number 3, like we're the part of the Perm fan club because we keep talking about them, right?
It's hard to avoid when they're at every event we go to and they have all these dang kids that are so good and rank so high. I don't know what else to do.
They might have to just change their mascot from the Yellow Jackets to the Road Warriors because it seems like they're everywhere this year.
Right.
But, you know, they're obviously the clear favorite in their pool. And in the favorite
probably the whole tournament, right?
The whole tournament. You know, they're led by, again, their 106-pounder, Owen Werner. He's currently ranked number 1, and he's a junior. Then, like you said, Leighton Rock, he's ranked number 9. He's a senior at 132 pounds. Followed by number 10 at 145 pounds, Dylan Fudge, who's another senior. And then they get into kind of what I'd call, you know, murderer's row for their team. Number 3 at 182 pounds, Zachary Peterson. He's a junior. Number 1 at 195 pounds, Ty Mosier. He's a senior. And number 3, Dawson Kellogg at 220 pounds, who's a junior.
You got to love. We say it every time. We'll keep saying it when we see him. You have 2-3 guys in a row, you can't hide from it. You know, that's a good way to get a bunch of team or a bunch of points in duels.
Yeah, they're just so tough at the top end there that, you know, they're the favorite.
Yep.
For sure. They're going to be duking out with Brainerd, who's in the lean and mean. A little different team than they've had in the past. They're led by a 132-pound senior, currently ranked number 9, Kyle Patnode. That's kind of about it for Brainerd's ranked wrestlers right
sure.
now. But, I mean, they have some depth because they are in the lean and mean. But as far as individual guys that are ranked,
well, you know, this could be a big weekend for them, right? If they go up there and either knock off Perm, or even if they don't knock them off, if they have 3, 4, 5 kids get big wins against, you know, some of these Perm studs, that's a good way to get yourself into the rankings.
Oh, great way. They're going to be duking it out with Cambridge Isanti Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're led by a 152-pound senior, Tate Torgerson. He's currently ranked number 4. They got a junior at currently ranked number 3 at 160 pounds, Jimmy Brown. And then a senior who's currently ranked number 9 at 170 pounds, Travis Drews. We know Cambridge Isani, they always come ready to battle, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've seen them, you know, whether random fans or them wrestling against the kids we're following at the Christmas tournament or down the state tournament or different places. They always come ready to roll. They're, as far as we know, they're the home of the head pry. The most controversial rule in high school wrestling.
For sure, the head pry. One of our favorite moves.
I don't know why it's legal, but it is. So we love it. But, you know, speaking of the head pry and legality, one of the things we may do in the future is find ourselves a referee we can pick on. I mean, get a referee that we can interview, maybe have an ask the ref sort of section or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we'll go over the head pry because that one almost needs pictures, right? We're an audio-only podcast. But, the ask a ref may be coming someday.
Yeah, probably not too far off. But to round out Pool A is the Bloomington Kennedy Eagles. They're currently unranked. They don't have a whole lot of ranked wrestlers either. But an interesting side note about the Eagles is their head coach Chuck Vavrovsky is in his 38th season with the Eagles.
Wow.
38 years with Bloomington Kennedy. That's pretty impressive.
That is. And, you know, they maybe over the last couple of years have not necessarily been, you know, at the very top of the rankings and whatnot. But he's had some awfully good teams roll through there. I'm sure he's had, I think he's had state champion teams roll through there, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, in the, you're too young, but kind of in my high school era, although I didn't go to school up here, they had some teams roll through. We know a couple of the guys that wrestled for him. They were awfully good. So he's coached them through a lot of good years, and I'm sure, you know, he'll get the most he can out of the athletes coming out there.
Oh, for sure. They're led by Joe Jeans. He's a returning state qualifier. You know, he's right around the 152-pound weight. They got a senior at 126 pounds, Alan Everson. He's been around a long time. And they got an up-and-comer, a young man. He's either a freshman or sophomore at 170 pounds, Isaac Grahams.
Oh, yeah.
I see him wrestling all over, you know, freestyle Greco. He's wrestling late into the spring. So, you know, they have some quality guys. We just don't know a lot of them.
Yeah, and we've seen Jeans for years and years, you know, at Gopher State and whatnot. He does out-season wrestling, too. So
anytime
you see a kid that's doing that, there's a good chance they're working hard and figuring things out and getting better. So they definitely have some good things going there.
And this is their fifth trip to the Rick Lee Duels.
And how many years of the Rick Lee Duels has there been?
I believe this is number five.
Right.
Now.
So I think they're the Vacaville of this tournament,
yeah,
right?
Yes, they are, yep.
All right. So that's Pool A. Pool B will have TMB WWG.
Yeah, Al, what is TMB WWG stand
also
for?
This is funny, right? Because Josh is our the king of these co-ops and keeping track of them, but I'm going to take this one on. It's Tracy Milroy Ballatin, Westbrook Walnut Grove, I believe.
Right. Yeah, Al.
And then we'll have Thief River Falls and Piers and United North Central also in that pool. There's a couple of weight classes there to keep an eye on. Again, 132. A couple of big, big ranked kids here. Number one in Class A, Derek Ellingson from Tracy. And number three in Double A, Cade Lundeen from Thief River. So there's a possible top three matchup. Different classes, but top three matchup at 132. And up at 195, there's actually three ranked kids. Jace Papalau from Tracy, Brennan Peralta from Thief River, and Carson Hulls from Pierce. So you might see several good matches up at 195 in Pool B. Of note, we were talking the other day, Josh, we saw Tracy took on Mineota, right? They're a top five team.
Yeah, right. Number four.
Perennial
right?
Power. Number four.
Section rival.
Yep. And 49-12, I think the final was.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I didn't get a chance to actually watch that duel, but just looking at the numbers on paper, Tracy walloped them pretty good.
They got to be pretty confident, you know, as they get closer and closer to the postseason, because that is, we got number two versus number four in the state, and, you know, I would say they're obviously favorites to be one and two in the section going into the tournament.
Right. Yeah, no, so Tracy's on a roll here. We'll see if they can keep it going. What do you got for some individuals out of that pool?
Well, Tracy Milroy Ballatin, Westbrook Walnut Grove Panthers, right? They got a 113-pounder, Aiden Horner. He's a freshman. He's currently ranked number three. He's having one heck of a season. Like you mentioned, Derek Ellingson, number one at 132. He's a senior. Then they got Anthony Axford, who's number eight at 145 pounds, another senior. I think he's maybe probably the younger brother of Logan Axford,
probably, yeah.
Then at 182 pounds, we got Trevor Eisfeld, who's a junior. And also, like you mentioned, at 195 pounds, ranked six, is Jace Papalau, who's another junior.
Nice.
I mean, and Tracy, I think if any team's going to give Perm a run, it's Tracy, Milroy Ballatin, Westbrook Walnut Grove. After the beating they just put on Mineota, and they had a real nice showing earlier this season up at was it Sauk Center, Al?
Yeah, Sauk Center, yep.
They ended up losing to the number one ranked team in the state, Long Prairie Gray Eagle Browerville. But they beat ACGC pretty good.
Yeah, always tough.
So keep an eye on them at the Rick Lee Duels because they're going to have a good tournament.
Well, and let's be honest, right? They have as many letters in their co-op as Perm does in their name by themselves. So it's got to be a good fight, right? Hey, and by the way, I come from a little town in Iowa that had to lop multiple schools together. So when we joke about these things, I grew up with it. Yeah.
And so in all seriousness, what makes it funny for us is when we've done some play-by-play, like at the state tournament, and whenever it's Al's turn to announce a kid in the school he comes from and he sees a little bit of the alphabet soup, I wish you guys could see the look on his face. He's like, what is TMB? WWG.
So, Josh gets a kick out of that. So.
Always. You know, the next team in their pool is Thief River Falls. And, you know, a long ways from us, Al, but they're also, they're in the lean and mean. They're not ranked.
Yep.
But another team, you know, the 13 that are either ranked or in the lean and mean. And they're led by freshman Brady Kasprick, who's currently ranked number 9 at 120 pounds. I got to watch Brady wrestle quite a bit last summer at the schoolboy duel.
Sure.
And he is one tough egg, man.
Nice.
He's going to come after you guys. They got a senior ranked number 3 at 132 pounds, Cade Lundeen. And they also have another senior at 195 pounds, you mentioned, Brennan Peralta. And currently unranked is a guy that's worth keeping an eye on. Their 145-pounder, Jake Davis.
Okay.
He's pretty salty. And we'll get, you know... He had a really tough bracket last year in the section tournament, made his way to state. I think he just came off a big win last week. I don't remember who it was against, but he's a pretty seasoned wrestler, and he is a junior, I believe.
Okay.
So keep an eye on him while you're there, too.
Jake Davis, 145.
Yes, sir.
Got it.
All right, next we'll go to Piers. They're also on the lean and mean. They got a handful of ranked wrestlers. This is Piers' second trip to the Rick Lee Duels, I believe. It also happens to be Skip Toops' second year as head coach.
Oh.
Who used to be the head coach over at Moorhead.
Right.
And Moorhead was always there when we were there.
Yeah.
So, for whatever reason, Skip took a job, went to Piers, and for whatever reason, Moorhead's not there anymore.
Right.
You know, the common denominator, I guess, is Skip.
Sure.
So he's continuing to bring teams, and he's got about 5-6 ranked wrestlers he's bringing with him. At 113 pounds, they got Sebastian Warczeka. You have to help me on the, excuse me if I mispronounced it. He's a senior, ranked 10th. Then at 126 pounds, they got another senior, Jake Andrus, who's ranked 5th. At 152 pounds, they got a senior ranked 7th, Brandon Tamala. And then at 160 pounds, they got another senior, Reese Kapsner, who's ranked 6th. And at 195 pounds, they got another senior, number 5, Carson Halls. That's 5 ranked seniors, Al.
Wow, and you know what? You see it all the time. A team full of seniors make things happen. Maybe this weekend and or maybe at the end of the year, they get into the postseason and all these guys last run in high school together. And there's just a little bit of extra oomph in some of their steps.
I'm going to tell you what. So that's Section 8. Double A, right?
That is a nasty section, isn't it?
Thief River Falls, 8AA.
Yeah. Tracy's in there, right?
No, Tracy's down south. Tracy's Perm.
Perm.
Perm, and then there's another team here. Son of a gun, I just handed two. But they got to have like 4 ranked teams in that section alone.
Yeah. Thief River, did you mention them?
Thief River, Piers, Perm, and then there's another one. Who the heck is it? Help me out here, Al. I need your help. Detroit Lakes.
Oh, right.
Detroit Lakes, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's just got a super tough team as well.
Yeah, so there's... that'll be a section worth visiting their individual and team tournament.
Keep an eye on Section 8.
Yeah.
8AA. Okay. The next team in that pool is United North Central. Al, you got to help me out. Do you know what communities make up United North Central?
Oh, now you're making fun of me.
Yeah, a little bit. Back in the day, it was Monaga and Sabika. And I believe it still is Monaga High School and Sabika High School. For whatever reason, they use the name United North Central.
All right.
They got a couple ranked wrestlers. They got, they're heavyweight. He's currently ranked 7th at, as a senior at 285 pounds.
Nice.
Jared Siebert. And then they got a 106-pounder who's a freshman, currently ranked fourth. His name's Ethan Hendrickson. And I'm pretty sure that would be the son of Hendrickson that wrestled for Morehead State. It was a four-time All-American.
Nice.
He maybe even had, like, an undefeated national championship season, like, as a junior, like, back in, I don't know, maybe, like, 97, something like that.
Sure.
I can't really remember, but just an absolute stud, like, multiple-time state placer for Monongahela. Went to Morehead State and just crushed it. So
got it in his bloodline.
Yeah, there's a pedigree there for sure. That kind of United North Central, that kind of rounds out Pool 4, I think.
Yeah, I would have had to guess Manly. That's in Iowa, though. Manly North Central was the North Central I was used to, and that's just probably too far from here for anybody who ever heard of. So shout out to Manly, who now is part of a bigger co-op, larger co-op. Okay. My hometown, Northwood Kensett Co-op with Manly. Anyhow, is that it for Pool B?
That is it for Pool B.
All right, and on we go to C. We've got Kenyawanamingo, Frazee, BGMR, and Big Lake. And BGMR, of course, is Badger Greenbush Middle River. So this pool looks super competitive, at least on paper, right? Three top 10 Class A teams are in this. Kenyon, Frazee, and Badger Greenbush are all ranked in the top 10 in Class A. So we're going to get a nice preview of a lot of postseason action on day one of this tournament. A couple weight classes to watch out for here is just the big guys. Just keep in mind, watch the big guys in Matt C, bracket C. At 220, there's three kids ranked number one, number two, and number five. 220-pounders in Class A are all in this bracket. Dominic Vakura from Badger, Kaya Lindell from Kenyawanamingo, and Luke Tweeton from Frazee. They're ranked 1, 2, and 5 in Class A, all at 220, so there's going to be some fireworks there. At heavyweight, there's three more top 10 kids from the same schools, actually. Zach Evans from Badger, Jesse Jackson from Kenyawanamingo, and Tony Malachowski from Frazee at heavyweight. So both the big weight classes in Pool C should be exciting with a ton of good action there.
Well, you know, we kind of sound like a broken record with Perm and Kenyawanamingo. They've been hitting the road. They go just about everywhere right now, and they're currently ranked 8th in Class A. They're led by number one, currently ranked number one, Jaron Mattson at 120 pounds. He's a senior. At 152 pounds, they got number three, ranked number three, Seth Broussard, who's a senior. At 160 pounds, currently ranked number one, another senior, Tyler Ryan. And like you mentioned, Kyle Lindell, he's a senior, ranked number five at 220. And Jesse Jackson, who's a senior, ranked number nine at 285. There's another team with five ranked seniors.
Yeah.
Look for them to make some noise. Frazee, currently ranked number five in Class A. All right, so we got the fifth-ranked team in Class A and the eighth-ranked team in the same pool.
There's another top 10 Class A team in this pool.
Jeez, this thing's nasty, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so Frazee, looking at, they're led by 138-pound sophomore, number six in the state, Caden Jimenez. And then they got a junior who's currently ranked number seven at 182 pounds, Brett Graham. They got a senior who's currently ranked number eight at 195 pounds, Gabe Drews. A junior, number one at 220, like you mentioned, Luke Tweeton. And a senior at heavyweight, number five, Tony Malachowski. You know, and they got to be rivals with Greenbush, Badger, Middle River, right?
I would think so. I mean, I'm not from up in that area, so I don't know the interactions, like which teams kind of have, you know, stuck in their craw for other certain teams and whatnot, but it feels like they're probably rivals.
They gotta be. It's gotta be the same. Yeah, it's the same section. One of them two teams is gonna more than likely represent Section 8 Class A of the state tournament.
Unless when you get to your next team, there might be a Section 8 Class A team that has something to say about that.
Okay.
So, what section's Badger from?
Well, Badger. That's kind of where I'm looking at is Badger versus Frazee, right?
Badger's
eight. I mean, so you're looking currently ranked number five in the state, number nine. All the Gators from from Badger, Greenbush, Middle River. They're led by 132-pound sophomore Garrett Underberg, who's currently ranked 10th. Owen Novacek, maybe? Probably Novacek.
I would say Novacek with a name like that.
Yeah, he's a senior at 145 pounds. Dominic Vancura, a sophomore at 220 pounds. And then Zach Evans, a junior at 285 pounds. To round out that Pool C is the Big Lake Hornets. They're currently unranked. They're also led by a 106-pound freshman. The Christian Noble is his name. He's currently ranked number 5. And I think he's got one loss coming into the tournament. Watch this kid. He is strong, man.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, just whatever that wrestles him, they talk about how strong he is. They got some other guys that aren't ranked that are pretty tough, though, too. And they got a junior at 120 pounds, Cade Sixbury. They got another freshman at 126 pounds, Dylan Brown. I got to watch a couple of these guys last year, Al, at like the 7th and 8th grade NYWA state tournament.
Yeah,
they
sure.
A really nice team put together. They're young, but they're tough. They're going to be good in a couple of years. They got Rocco Vichy, who's a sophomore at 132 pounds, and they got another senior at 170, Charlie Gellerman. They're not ranked, but they're definitely guys to keep an eye on.
Sure. Nice. All right. So that rounds out Pool C. Moving on to our last pool, Pool D. We've got Detroit Lakes. We've got Black Duck Cass Lake Bena.
Yeah.
We got Otter Tail Central and Bemidji. My only question is, how does Otter Tail Central end up OTC for an acronym? They decided that guys like me would be confused, which is an OC for Otter Tail, so they included the second syllable in there?
You know what? That's a good question. Let me ask you this, Al. Do you know the schools that make up Otter Tail Central?
I knew I shouldn't even bring that up because you're just going to drag me out into the waters and drown me. Who makes it up?
It is a co-op between Battle Lake,
okay,
Henning,
okay,
and Underwood.
All right.
So, and there's a little bit of a heritage there, or history there. Otter Tail Central, Battle Lake, Henning, Underwood. The former Golden Gopher / MMA fighter Jacob Volkman.
Oh yeah,
is from that area. So they got a little bit of a pedigree up there.
Yeah, chiropractor, right, Jacob?
Yeah, yep. And actually, he maybe is maybe even tree trimming now.
Okay.
So
tough dude.
Yeah. So the Bulldogs, right? I don't know. We got on a tangent here. Let's start at the top.
Okay.
Detroit Lakes is the favorite in that pool. Is the top seed in that pool, right? The Detroit Lakes Lakers. They got a good team. They're coming off a great season last year, and they're in just a super mean section.
They're a top 10 team, right?
Yeah.
They're ranked 10th, maybe.
Yeah, they're currently ranked 10th.
Nice.
You know, so they're. They're one of the four teams that are either ranked or in the lean and mean,
sure,
in that section. It's just nasty.
Wow.
They're led by junior at 132 pounds, Blake Weber. Then they got a senior at 138 pounds, who's ranked number 6, Fabian Greer. And then they got a junior, Isaiah Thompson, who's ranked number 3 at 170 pounds. And he's quite an athlete, so keep an eye on him. Then we're going to roll right into Black Duck, Cass Lake Bena. You know, they're not ranked, but they're in the lean and mean. They're led by junior Trevor Jansen at 120 pounds. He's currently ranked number 3. Then at 170 pounds, they got a senior who's currently ranked number 4, Ian Frenzel. And at 182 pounds, they got another junior currently ranked number 6, Mason Schmid. Then we got our Otter Tail Central. And they're not ranked, but they're in the lean and mean. They're led by 120-pound Matt Hendricks. He's a junior. He's currently ranked 10th. Then they got 160-pound Zane Swanson, another junior, is currently ranked 9th. And they got another junior at 220 pounds, Wyatt Thorson, who is ranked 9th. To round out that pool is the Bemidji Lumberjacks, the host tournament team. They're currently ranked 9th. They're led by 160-pound senior Chance Heinrichs, who's currently ranked 8th. They got a senior at 182 pounds, currently ranked 10th, Nick Geiger. And then they got a senior at 200 at heavyweight, who's currently ranked 7th, Caleb Beam. I got a chance to watch Bemidji wrestle a little bit earlier this year when they came down to Simley for a try with Simley and St. Michael Albertville.
Oh, sure.
It wasn't their best night, but I think at the time they were missing about six guys due to injury.
Those are two pretty salty teams.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, they chose to jump on a bus and come down from Bemidji to Simley and take on that type of competition.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
And they ended up being a little shorthanded because of some football injuries. I think they got about half their guys back, it sounded like Coach Barr said. And once they get their other half, you know, they get the other half back, they're going to be firing on all cylinders.
Sure. Yeah, so in that pool, there will be a couple of ranked matchups to keep an eye on. At 120 pounds between Black Duck and Otter Tail, you have Trevor Jansen, number 3 in Class A for Black Duck, and Matt Hendricks, number 10 in Class A for Otter Tail. That's at 120 pounds. Another one to keep an eye on is 170 pounds. Number 3 in Class 2A, Isaiah Thompson, as you mentioned, from Detroit Lakes, and Ian Frenzel from Black Duck. He's number 4 in Class A, so another ranked matchup to look out for in Day 1 at 170. As we went through those, you know, you heard a couple of weight classes, 132 and 195, over and over. So those will be weight classes to keep an eye on all weekend, and should see a nice set of matches out of each of those.
Yeah, there's, like I say, 13 out of the 16 teams are either ranked or in the lean and mean. Ton of ranked wrestlers. The if you're a paying spectator, you're going to get your money's worth. Just buy a program so you know who to follow along.
Yeah, for sure. So, we are not, I don't believe, we're not going to do any sort of predictions, right? We don't, that's not for us. Especially, so for me, these teams, I love watching these teams, but I typically see them once or twice a year and then in the state tournament.
Right.
And I love it, but I just don't get to follow them as close as I'd like to. So I'm a little out of my wheelhouse right now, and I would not really be suited to making picks. Plus, I just don't think it does much for us. So I don't think we need to make any predictions.
I agree. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
All right. So, either way, depending on who makes it out of pool, out of each of those pools, I think there's going to be some highly ranked matchups on day two, especially in that top pool or two.
Well, and I definitely think pool C is pretty interesting, for sure, with Canyon, Frazee, and Badger, Greenbush.
Oh, yeah.
Middle River and Big Lake. You know, Canyon being ranked number 8 in Class A, Frazee number 5. And Badger being ranked 9.
Right. I mean, you're going to have a top 10 Class A team that finishes 3rd in a pool.
Yeah.
Maybe 4th. I don't know. But certainly 3rd. So that's a very competitive day one, which I love, right? It's so great to go there and be able to find awesome duels on day one of the tournament like that.
How do you think like a team like Perm is holding up right now after the schedule they've had?
You know, I would love to have. I've got no contacts at Perm. I just don't know anybody from there. I'd be really interested. You know, I watch those kids wrestle, and anytime I see them, I feel like they're just super hard nosed, tough kids. But I don't care how tough you are when you go through the kind of grind that team has. There's just going to be some unfortunate things that happen. It feels like someone's got a twisted ankle and someone's elbow sore and someone's shoulders a little wore out, and I don't know. I hope they're doing good, but
yeah, I mean, it's worth noting that, you know, kids recover fast, right? They're resilient.
Yeah. Yep.
But when you go from the Rumble to the Clash, now to the Rick Lee duels, I mean, it adds up for sure. So keep an eye on that, you know, just to see how healthy they are. Maybe, you know, maybe they'll be in a position, you know, on day one to be able to rest some guys.
Right.
You know, get some, you know.
And I haven't looked at their schedule, you know, as they approach the postseason. You know, maybe they've got a couple of, you know, 2-3 weeks that aren't quite as stiff competition. Well, it can't be, right? I mean, the Clash, the Rumble, and Rickley Duels.
Yeah,
there's nothing that tough at towards the end of the duel season.
I do know they actually have Simley coming up for a duel. Coming up again. I mean, so.
Well, that shouldn't surprise us.
Yeah,
why wouldn't they? You know, maybe they'll wrestle the Gophers the next day. But either way, you know, maybe they've got some time kind of slotted towards the end of the year to where if anybody is banged up, they can rest some kids or get them healthy and stuff. But I love people going out and finding competition. I talk to people who are in favor of I don't want to know if ducking competition is the right term, but, you know, they'll
avoid it.
They'll duck it. They'll, whether it's postseason, whether it's during the dual season here as a team, that they're dodging tough matchups, or maybe their coach and AD don't schedule the toughest competition. I don't know. But, you know, I'm a big fan of find the toughest people you can, go out, wrestle them, score as many points as you can, and you're going to get better. That's just kind of the end of it, you know, and things will shake out at the end. The kids and teams that that are working the hardest and competing against the best competition are going to be the most ready for the postseason. You know, I won't say the school because I've got a lot of respect for their school, but my older son had a good friend from a particular school who every year they brought 4, 5, 6 kids to the state tournament with just ridiculously gaudy records. You know, 2 or 3 losses coming to the state tournament, 30, 35 wins. You know, they were just, and they go there and the majority of their kids would be lucky to get a second match.
Right.
You know, every year they were 0-1, 0-2. 1-2 would be a big weekend for them and they couldn't figure out why. You know, their kids were so good, they had hardly lost. And we talked to, you know, one set of parents, it kind of asked about it. We're like, well, you don't wrestle anybody tough all year.
Yeah,
you know, your coach has got a soft schedule. And so, sure, your records are good, but you haven't faced, you know, the kind of kids that you could. And I get that this particular team was a little bit outstate, so it wasn't super easy for them to find, super high-level competition. But, you know, in Perm, we won't even talk – they're an exception because they're going above and beyond this year. But I don't care how far out state you are, you can find tough tournaments. You can find Fargo is not that far if you're from northern or northwestern Minnesota.
Right.
You know, you can get into Bemidji. You can find tough tournaments if you want to. And I just think you need to if you want to have success postseason.
Exactly. I mean, it just prepares you for the postseason.
Yep. Yep.
I think, you know, it kind of covers or sums up our Rick Lee coverage. If you're in the area, go take a look, you know, follow along on track. Follow your teams on Twitter or whatever. I mean, it's a good tournament.
Yeah. And I haven't checked, but they have years past, they've had track cast, you know, where you could go and purchase the event and watch it live or archive, which is a nice option.
Right. And I haven't either. I would think they have that. I guess that's not a question I asked.
Rants. They always have, so I don't know why they wouldn't this year.
But yeah, definitely a great tournament.
Yeah, and again, thanks a ton to Rants for taking a few minutes out of his super busy schedule and tracking you down and sharing some information. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you very much. And you know, it's funny how that worked. You know, the wrestling community, it's a small world. He got my number from a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. And
Now you're telling me you have 4 friends?
Well,
Come on.
They're friends of a friend.
I got it. Yeah, okay, so you have a friend with 4 friends.
Yes, exactly.
All right, that can happen. I can believe that.
Let's roll into the Cheesehead, Al. Let's talk a little bit about that. We didn't spend a lot of time. We haven't spent any time on it yet.
We basically skipped over it. We talked about last week. We were gonna talk about it, and then one thing led to another, and we just didn't get much talked about. So there were only 3 teams there, right?
Three Minnesota teams.
Minnesota teams. Good call.
Wasn't super high on the priority list, right?
Right. So Kasson took their team over there. I think they finished 2nd. Simley finished 6th, and Albert Lee finished 19th. You know, kind of middle of the pack. That tournament is one of the strangest bracketed tournaments I've ever seen. In fact, you look through track and there's, you know, do you want round robin? Do you want a 32-man with double wrestle back? Do you want it with true second? There's like a special category. Do you want those messed up cheesehead brackets?
So when I go to click on the brackets and I have no idea what's going on, that's not
abnormal. That's normal. That's absolutely normal. In fact, the fun part is more than once I went to check out the brackets for the cheesehead the night before it started and thought I missed a day because they already have a team score.
Oh yeah, yes.
They have a team score after bracketing based on teams that are seeded, individuals that are seeded high enough and have buys. They actually get team points. So before they've wrestled 1 minute of one match of any weight class, there's actually team points scored.
So that's how they get to these, is that part of the reason they get these team scores of like 458 points?
It's got to be, right? I don't quite get it, but I do. I mean, I like the format. So basically, a super simplified version is they have a bunch of pools at each weight class that are supposedly balanced and spread out, and they'll wrestle a round robin, and then from there they'll get placed into one of several different brackets. So it's similar to some of these team tournaments we've talked about recently, where it's 2 days, two different events in a way, or the round robin. And then follow with that the different bracket wrestling. But they're goofy to look at for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Like, it's like, what the heck? Yeah. But a tough tournament nonetheless, right? There was like
super tough. Yeah. Kind of host set, right? And they're always nasty tough.
And I think they took 11th,
give or take, in their own tournament. Yeah, I think they were outside the top 10. And I don't, I've never been to that one in person. I don't know that they finish outside the top 10 very often.
Oh, I seriously doubt it. And then I think there was like five nationally ranked teams with Mount Carmel winning it.
Sure.
So definitely quality competition, maybe 30 teams total, something like that.
Yeah, it's in that ballpark, yep.
Albert Lee, like you said, they kind of finished in the middle, give or take. They had Cole Glazier. He's a sophomore. He took, he's a freshman, maybe. Cole's a freshman.
Freshman sounds right, but yeah, he's a freshman. Yeah.
I take that back. He's an eighth grader. I'm wrong. Cole Glazier's an eighth grader. He took 10th at the Cheesehead.
Okay.
Nick Cantu, he also took 10th at 126 pounds. Caleb Talamantes took 8th at 145 pounds. And at 182 pounds, they had Zach Glazier win it.
Yep.
So he's having a great season. He just keeps
adding. He's 3 for 3. He's been on every one of our podcasts.
Yeah, he just keeps piling them on.
One way or the other.
It's just a matter of, by the end of the season, how many times him and Cade King will have wrestled.
I hope I see them all.
Yeah, and I got to believe it's going to be somewhere like 6.
Yeah.
Then Simley took 6th place. They had a real strong showing. They had multiple placers. At 145 pounds, they had an 8th grader, Gavin Nelson, take 4th. And you heard it right, Al. That's an 8th grader at 145 pounds.
And he placed high.
Yeah, he placed high. He took 4th. Then they had Ken Short at 182 pounds. He took 3rd.
And how old is he?
Ken's got to be a sophomore?
I think he's a sophomore.
Or maybe coming off of... He won Fargo last year.
He's a large size, very sturdy sophomore. Yes.
Okay. Then they got a freshman who took 2nd at 120 pounds, Chase DeBlair.
Yep.
He's having a great season. I think he's got maybe 2 losses on the year. And one of them he's avenged.
Right.
So he's keep an eye on him. And then they had a champ of their own at 132 pounds, Ryan Sokol, who's right around 25-0 on the season.
Did you catch who he wrestled in the finals? I didn't see who he wrestled in the finals. I'm wondering if it was that Noah Villarreal that he wrestled in the finals at the Christmas tournament. He's a returning state champ.
Did he? I don't know.
He teched him at the Christmas tournament.
Right? Yeah,
which I was shocked at the time. And I've watched Ryan wrestle 50 matches in the last 3 years, and 200 over his lifetime. And nothing really shocks me out of that kid. No. That Noah Villarreal is a returning state champ who is very highly nationally ranked. And Ryan just tore him to shreds at the Christmas tournament.
Yeah.
He decked him.
When you tech-fall someone, that's
one-sided.
Nationally ranked guy, that's pretty one-sided, yeah. So I don't know who he wrestled in the championship, I guess. I am curious, though, now that you say it, because that's interesting. I'd like to see. I kind of forgot about that much until you said that. But yeah, I think he's still undefeated.
Oh, I'm sure.
Gotta be, right? So Simley had a great tournament. They had other guys. Cale Berg, he took 7th at like 138 pounds. Super tough kid. He's having a great season. They had Nolan Monzak.
And Cale's 100. I think he's 132 pounder as well. I mean, they're pretty close to the same size, right? Him and Ryan.
Yeah.
And so he's probably not a giant 38, but they get to roll every day in the room. And we've talked about that a couple of times. And that was one thing I knew growing up. I didn't know a lot about wrestling. I knew that if there was a tough kid in the lineup, that right next to him, above or below him, there was another tough kid.
Almost
there just always was.
Yeah.
And Ryan and Cale are kind of another of the very many examples of that. Tough kids back-to-back in these lineups.
Yeah. To round it out, at 170 pounds is Nolan Wanzak. He took 5th up there. And, they had about probably 10, 12 guys placed, but those are their highest placers for sure.
Sure.
Then Section 1, AA representative, Cass and Manorville.
Yeah.
They ended up taking second.
Nice.
You know, they had multiple placers that ranked, you know, that went anywhere from first place down to, you know, 14th or something like that.
Right.
Know, exactly. Trying to read these brackets. And, I mean, they place a lot of guys. But, you know, they had some pretty impressive performances, like at 113 pounds. Logan Vaughn took third.
Yeah.
You know, he had one heck of a tournament. Just a pretty impressive showing for that young man.
Yeah, that kid's tough.
He's a freshman. Then Grant Parrish at 195 pounds.
Grant is new to Casson this year, right?
He is.
Former Forest Lake, maybe?
Yeah, Forest Lake Rangers. His dad, my understanding is dad got a job in the Rochester area.
Yep.
And he got three boys that wrestle, and they were found a wrestling community that suited their needs best, and it happened to be Casson Manorville.
Sure.
So Grant had a fifth place finish there.
This is his first action of the year. I haven't seen his name yet.
I think it might be.
He
was maybe had some kind of injury or something.
I don't recall what it was, but I think he was. Yeah, he was dinged up a little bit for the early part of the season. Good thing to see him back on the mat.
Without a doubt. You know, then at 182 pounds, they had Dalton Andrus.
He took
fourth. He had a great tournament.
Sure.
Like, I think he wrestled Kane Short from Simleaf in the third place match.
Yep.
So. Section rivals here. Absolutely. You know,
yeah,
so
they'll see each other more than likely in the team section finals and more than likely, or at least a good chance, in individual section finals.
For the diehard wrestling fans, keep an eye on this section. Simley and Casson Manorville, only one of them is going to state. And, you know, with guys like Bennett Berge, another, you know, he's a freshman, right?
Yep.
He took fourth at the, defending state champ. He took fourth at 160 pounds. And I don't think Bennett's cutting a lot of weight to make 160 pounds.
I'm pretty sure he wrestled 52 the last time we rode on a bus with him.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he's kind of having fun and, you know, helping out the team. And, again, fourth place finish at the Cheesehead without much weight cutting is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's nice.
The Garrison Shore at 220 pounds took second. You know, he's been around a long time.
He had
a great tournament. And then their workhorse, Iowa Commit, at 170 pounds, Patrick Kennedy, he won it.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, they had, again, multiple other guys place, you know, 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Sure.
There's a couple new names in the lineup, Al.
Okay.
Giovanni and Carlos Ruffel.
Ruffel, okay.
I believe. R-U-F-F-O.
Okay.
There's some talk in the Minnesota wrestling community right now about this family. You know, they happen to move into the Casson Manorville area within the last month or so. Maybe before that, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know for sure. But
where'd they come from?
South Dakota.
Okay.
So one of them took, I believe, fourth in the South Dakota. South Dakota's got two classes, I think.
They've got a goofy setup over there. Look, I mean, two kids from the same school could meet in the finals of the state tournament in South Dakota. I believe that. So I don't know all the rules, but they've got a lot of weird ones.
They do, don't they? I don't know. I think it's a two class system.
Okay.
And so, like at 126 pounds, Giovanni Ruffo, he maybe took fourth last year, and then his big brother Carlos was a state champ in South Dakota.
Okay.
So I heard a little hubbub. You know, some people are like, holy smokes, Casson Manorville just got these guys the day before the Cheesehead.
Right.
Moved in over Christmas break. Yeah, that's not exactly how it worked out. I happened to see a couple of the, I saw this family at a tournament, or at a try in New York City about a month ago.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know, they weren't wrestling on that night, but
sure.
they've been around a little while anyways.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to make that section race a little bit
that much more interesting. Yeah, you know, both those schools have, you know, speaking of Casson and Simley, they both got a great, you know, youth wrestling program and a wrestling community that's awesome and tons of tough homegrown kids. But let's be honest, they both, because they're so good, they're an attractive place for people to move to. So. Yeah. They're not out there recruiting, I'm sure, but people move to the general area and they might have kids that wrestle and they look, and that's a decision factor, right, for the family. So if they're south of the metro, they may end up at Cassin. You know, maybe their parents work at Mayo in Rochester and wrestle for Cassin. Or maybe they work someplace downtown and live in Inver Grove and wrestle for Simley. I don't know, but it sure makes for a ton of entertainment as a fan.
Oh, my gosh, does it ever.
Yeah.
And we could do a three-part series on this topic, so we better just go on to the next one.
All right. So the next one, how about if we jump into questions from listeners?
Yeah.
We have one.
Yes, we got a great question from a listener that he, you know, I think in the last podcast, Al, you used the term salty.
I did. I said a wrestler was salty, or a phrase that a wrestler team was salty. And the question was, what do you mean by a salty wrestler? I thought that meant frustrated or pissed off, like his car was repoed.
Yeah.
Good question, right? So I Googled salty definition, put those two words into Google, and my friend Google told me, among a couple of options, that one was tough, semicolon, aggressive. It was labeled as informal, right? So it's not the actual definition, but a common use of salty is tough or aggressive.
So I would say your description of a wrestler being salty was probably spot on.
I think it's fair. That said, I work with a guy who's a huge fan of Urban Dictionary. I don't know if you've heard of this. I hope you haven't, Josh, because you're such a fine young man.
I can't say that I have.
Urban Dictionary is not something you want to be searching from your work computer. Let me just say that. It's a dictionary of sorts, but with slang/heavy... very low level of appropriateness for the workplace. Not safe for work.
All right.
Shouldn't be going there. The Urban Dictionary lookup had some examples that were very close to car being repoed and that sort of thing. So whoever our listener was that asked, I'm not sure if they're more of an Urban Dictionary guy than a Webster's Dictionary guy, but it just depends on where you go for your definitions, I guess. So yeah. Fair question, yeah. But I feel like we had a fair use of the word for our our side.
Yeah.
So thank you a ton for that question. Please feel free, other people, to jump out. And again, I think that one might have come via text or whatnot, but feel free to text or DM or email, however you want to do it. Let us know questions or suggestions for shows. We've got a few different ideas, right, for some shows coming up. Some things we've thought about, whether they're partial show topics or full show topics, what have we thought about?
Well, you know, one of them that's coming up is the two-piece uniform.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of expected that to take off a little more than what we've seen, right?
Yeah, and we've seen a couple here and there, but very few. And there's kind of two options now, right? There's a two-piece uniform, which they've had for a little bit, but just recently they've allowed, like, fight shorts and a compression shirt, right? I think the key change being the fight shorts. And a lot of people thought that was going to be a great thing. And it may be a great thing, but we haven't seen a ton of it.
We haven't seen it really take off yet.
Yeah, so we may talk about that a little bit, and along the lines of uniforms, right? You were mentioning that you'd heard there's some rules about shooter sleeves.
Well, yeah, last weekend we were doing weigh-ins at a tournament, and the officials, they said, you know, they've got talking about the shooter sleeve, you know. And my understanding was it was the full-length sleeve. Like,
yeah.
Essentially, if, like, you go back in time, Al,
a one-leg tight?
Yeah, the one-leg tight, exactly. Like, tights with only one leg. Like, you cut off, you know, the Goodhue Wildcats, they wore tights up until like 2006.
Right.
You cut off one of their legs and then went out and wrestled. You know, Zahi Valencia, right?
Right.
He does it all the time. So I don't know. I don't even know where you buy the full length shooter sleeve. But my understanding is that is against the National Federation rules because it's not original equipment. You know, we're gonna look into this.
We're gonna look into it, and if necessary, we'll drag a referee or a rules interpreter into this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, to tell you right now, my gut instinct feels like it's a ridiculous rule.
It feels like a rule for no reason, which is odd, right? Because it's a new rule. It's not like this rule. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe there was a rule from the '60s that somehow was interpreted to say you couldn't have a one-leg shooter sleeve now. I'm not sure. That's what we'll have to find out.
Yeah.
We've talked about, you know, Minnesota's one of 7 or 8 states that do junior high wrestlers can wrestle in high school. There's pros and cons to that. We've talked about maybe touching on those things and debating that just a little bit. Girls wrestling, you know, youth, high school, and college. Touched on girls wrestling, whether we talk about that just ourselves or bring someone in. We've got some contacts of folks that are huge proponents, you know, at the state level. And if necessary, we could talk to them or bring them in. What we talked about, I guess, on the other side of the youth is the college. We could talk just a little bit about the college preparation for wrestling in college and choosing a college and how much or how little parents should or shouldn't be involved in those decisions and just kind of what to expect when you go through, you know, when you have a kid that's getting to be a freshman and then a sophomore and then a junior and then a senior and how that process works.
That's actually a topic I've probably heard, you know, since we've been doing this for a couple of weeks now, we've probably heard, you know, a dozen people, you know, shoot me a text or ask me a little bit about that. You know?
Sure.
And that one, I think we could do, Al, with your experience and your son Taylor's experience, we could do that. You could do that a pretty good justice.
I think so because, you know, just like any good parent/coach/whatever, I asked around as best I could. I didn't just assume I knew the right thing to do. I asked around and got a fair number of opinions when my son was getting older and I've shared my experiences with people and I've gotten feedback from people. So yeah, we could certainly go through that if that's something people are interested in.
Just some ideas going forward and something we might, you know, some topics we might cover or hope to cover. And
so if people, again, back to the same thing, if people have ideas for a whole show or whether they're little 5 or 10 minute topics, we'd love to have a bunch of little 10 or 15 minute topics, 5 or 10 or 15 minute topics to fill in, you know, during these shows and give people a little glimpse at whatever topic they're curious about. Yeah. So feel free to shoot those to us.
I want to say thanks again to Coach Rance Barr from the Bemidji Lumberjacks for getting a hold of me and you know, spending 10, 15 minutes of his busy schedule, especially this week.
You bet.
The tournament. Just kind of giving us a rundown on their tournament.
Yeah. So follow us at Alan Josh on Twitter. And when we get the iTunes podcast out there, we'll let you know via that Twitter account. And if you have some other method, like someone who checked other, I should have been more specific, send us a DM or comment or whatever and just let us know what the other method is that you want to follow the podcast on, and we'll get that set up, assuming we can.
Sounds good.
All right, awesome. Everybody have a great weekend and go watch some wrestling.
Yeah, good luck, teams.
All right, bye.